All right, guys, I've been waiting for this one. Have you started holiday shopping yet? If you're like me, 2020 has felt like the longest year, yet here we are, getting ready for the holidays. And just like most everything else, even shopping looks a little bit different, and that's where Sally Sue Collections comes in. They're an online boutique with personalized goods to fit your taste and style, and there's plenty of fun and sassy items in stock and ready to ship. Mugs to tumblers to shirts and hats and gifts for our amazing teachers and frontline workers, SallySueCollections.com has you covered. Give the gift of thoughtfulness this year and stand out with fun and unique items, and you'll also be supporting a local business. And that's what this whole thing is about. Shop local, support local. With SallySueCollections.com, your shopping experience is 100% contactless. And keep in mind that due to the volume of online shopping this year, orders are anticipated to be high. So what does that mean for you? Shop early and then kick back and enjoy your time with friends and family. There's never been a better year to plan ahead, shop safely, and find those special gifts for your loved ones, friends, and colleagues. And that's where SallySueCollections.com comes in. Visit them. SallySueCollections.com. Get in there, get your gifts, and have a rocking end of the year. All right, guys, you know that this episode of the podcast is brought to you by Hepias. Hepias is your number one place to go for premium CBD products at a fraction of the cost. This is perfect for any first-time user and for the veteran user. There's no THC. It's locally sourced and third-party tested, so you don't have to worry about paying for any fancy celebrities or a drug test. These guys have something for everybody, and I personally enjoy their products. In fact, my favorite one's the Sleep Aid, so go check them out, hepiasmed.com. HEPIUSMED.com. Right in time for the holiday seasons. Again, go check them out, happiestmed.com, and have fun. Listen, guys, before we start and I introduce my guest, I'd like to just let you know briefly about my Facebook group. It's called The Thinking Project Group. You can find it if you go to my Facebook page, The Thinking Project. You can also find it if you go to my Instagram and click on the link in my bio. But that's where I'm going to start going. I realized that there was a lot more engagement on groups versus like my page, which is what I love. I love your guys' feedback. I love getting to know everybody who tunes in. So please go join that at The Thinking Project Group on Facebook. It is a private group, so don't worry about any kind of spam or anything like that. The questions are easy to get in and I'll accept you. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce our guest, Kevin Nahai, who is a life coach and one of the best ones. I did this one on StreamYard. We did a live. We had quite a bit of viewers, but the quality was great. We had a lot of fun doing it and he was very insightful, had a lot of good knowledge to drop on people. So please welcome Kevin Nahai. I hope you get a lot out of it and enjoy. Welcome, everybody. This is Dalton Jensen, and you're tuning into The Thinking Project. All right. Well, hey, thanks, Kevin, for joining me in this interview for The Thinking Project, man. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Dalton. I'm very humbled and grateful and honored to be here. And wishing you a happy Thanksgiving, man.
Yeah, no, I can't believe this year's, it's already Thanksgiving, bro.
It's, Thanksgiving doesn't even technically exist this year, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, it's true. And by the time people listen to this recording, it won't be. But this year's gone by fast, man. How's it been for you?
Definitely, you know, the COVID pandemic has had some ups and downs for me in terms of business, financially, you know, emotionally, in terms of anxiety, relationships, dating. It's a very, very uncertain time. Thank God my business is doing well, because I think it's an uncertain and sort of anxiety inducing time. So people need the additional support.
Yeah.
But, you know, just like everybody, my business and my life have, you know, taken a hit from COVID and from the social isolation and from the economy and, you know, the fact that just so many variables are up in the air right now. So, you know, thank God I'm happy and I'm healthy and doing well, but it has not been an easy time.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, you know, I think for a lot of people, it's been ups and downs. And so it's just trying to figure out, you know, what makes you happy and what path you're on. I think what 2020 did for a lot of people is helped them realize what actually makes people happy, right?
I hope so.
Yeah.
At the start of the pandemic, you know, I was pushing not only my coaching services, but just pushing people to the max to get themselves in therapy, get a coach, sign up for some programs, attend some virtual seminars. Because what I was telling people is, look, the next, at the time I was saying 3 to 6 months, it has already exceeded that.
Oh yeah.
But what I was telling people is the next several months, you are going to be saddled with a lot of challenges, and you are going to have to sit with yourself and look your problems in the face, because you can't distract yourself with the usual activities of working and partying and dating and drinking. You know, it's kind of like the world has been put on pause, and now you're basically going to have to sit in silence and, you know, trudge through the mud.
Yeah.
So what I was telling people is, look, this is it's a blessing in disguise. This is a time for you to look inside and really realize what you want, what makes you happy, so that, you know, when the world reopens and when we go back to our usual, you know, lives, working, hanging out with friends, dating, whatever it might be, business, so that when we go back, you're ahead of the curve. You're a lot more well-adjusted. And, you know, when you say you think this time has taught people what really makes them happy, my response is, I hope so.
Really?
Because it would be a big waste, and it would be a big shame if we don't harness this downtime when the world is on pause and when we're forced to face some of our own issues, if we don't harness it and really, you know, use it to our own advantage going forward.
Yeah, I think you're totally right. Hey, one thing you said that I really find fascinating to talk about is that people have a hard time sitting in silence. And that's something that coaches are really good at helping people deal with. And what 2020 has forced us all to do is really like be able to sit with our thoughts, right? So I'm curious, with you being a coach, how do you approach that, you know, being able to sit with yourself and your thoughts and be comfortable with that?
That's a great question. So 2020 has forced us to sit in silence and sit with our thoughts, but it hasn't forced us to process them. And
good one. Yeah.
And to, it hasn't forced us to become friends with ourselves and you know, appreciate and learn how to make the best of that very difficult process.
Good point. You know,
and I just make that distinction because this is why our rates of drug addiction, domestic abuse, suicide, depression, anxiety have shot up so astronomically in the last 8 months, you know, is that now people are being forced to sit in silence and sit with themselves. But if that is too overwhelming for them, you know, and if they haven't learned how to do that, and how to kind of, as I said, make friends with that process, then it can have very damaging effects on our psyche and on our mental health. Now in terms to answer your question of like, what do I recommend or, you know, how do I do that, is most of us have little to no experience of processing our own thoughts. Most of us have little to no emotional self-awareness. So basically, don't do it alone. Get somebody who is going, get some kind of coach or therapist or mental health professional who's going to be there to guide you through the process of sitting with yourself and learning your thoughts and sort of working through your emotional roadblocks, because otherwise it's just also overwhelming, you know?
Yeah.
If you're like 25 and you've just spent the last 4 years or 5 years drinking, doing drugs, partying, having sex, messing around, working, and you've been focused on literally everything other than yourself, then all of a sudden those distractions are taken away from you. And now you have to sit with yourself, and it's very scary. It's very overwhelming, you know? Yeah. So my first piece of advice is don't do it alone, you know,
I think that's great advice. Yeah, I think that's great advice. I think, well, and you know, you mentioned I think what the pandemic shook up and why I think coaches are so valuable And why I've interviewed a lot of coaches, you know, yourself and a couple other coaches, is just to help people realize we went at, like, I remember working at the, you know, at my job, and, you know, we're going, we're moving. I worked in retail at the time, and we're moving and we're going and we're going. And then it was like the faucet, like, literally turned off. It wasn't like this slow kind of slow burn thing. It was like one day we're selling, you know, we're selling millions of dollars in we're having $1 million in sales. And then literally the next day it was like zero.
It's like 60 to zero in a day.
It was nuts. And that fast, having to react that fast, you definitely need somebody. You know, you for sure can't do it alone. So yeah. I really do. I really appreciate that. So you're in, you know, the lifestyle coaching. And I'll let you explain it more. So tell us a little bit about, like, what you do and how you got started.
Sure, man. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. So yeah, I am a coach and I'm a speaker, and I speak to businesses, conferences, schools.
Cool.
I also work one-on-one with men and women in their 20s and 30s. And I work on a select number of issues. One of them is anxiety and depression. One of them is sort of discovering your purpose and learning what you want to do with your life. You know, if you're kind of making a career shift, or, you know, you haven't even figured out what you like at all. The third area is dating and relationships. And the fourth area is self-esteem and confidence and belief in yourself. You know, particularly if you've had difficult events in your life, breakups or trauma or whatever, that, you know, programmed some very negative limiting beliefs into your subconscious, and you need to overcome those. So those are my four areas of focus. And the way that I got to this, and the reason that I only focus on these four areas, rather than, you know, some coaches who they'll coach you in relationships, in business, in finance, in friendships, in divorce, like the, you know, some coaches will cover A to Z.
Yeah.
But the reason I'm a lot more focused on these four areas is that these are the things that I struggled through and really, really had to battle some demons. And these are the things that I learned how to overcome. So I don't coach anybody through anything that I have not been through myself.
That's important. I think that's really important.
Thank you. Yeah. I think it, you know, I set it up this way to be able to give the most value, but, yeah, you know, going through those four areas, I had severe anxiety and depression. I had anorexia. I was suicidal. You know, I had a series of very toxic relationships and really bad breakups. I had 10 different careers before the age of 25 or 28 or whatever. I tried so many different things and started different businesses and worked in so many different industries and just couldn't figure out what I actually wanted. I also had self-esteem that was in the toilet, you know, and I had a lot of events in my past that made me a very weak, insecure, afraid, you know, little boy in a man's body. So over the years, I learned how to turn each of these problems around and how to become successful and fulfilled in each of these areas so that I can feel confident and secure. I can have great relationships with women. I know what I'm doing with my life and I know what my purpose is. And I'm calm, I'm at ease, I manage my anxiety, I'm no longer depressed, so forth and so on. So
yeah.
It took me many years and a lot of pain and, you know, nobody else did it for me. Now my mission is basically to save other people time and say, I've had the problem that you have right now, and here's how I got from point A to point B.
Wow. That's a really great story, man. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's just the kind of bare bones outline of it, but there's a lot more, detail to it than that, you know?
Sure. Go ahead.
Particularly in my early 20s. late teens, early 20s is when I was really, really struggling. When I was 19, I got diagnosed with an incurable disease of the stomach, and it basically spiraled everything out of control. I couldn't eat, so my organs were failing. I dropped 70 pounds. I was living in and out of the hospital. I became suicidal, you know, and all the while I was in college, trying to get good grades, trying to make friends, trying to work, basically, you know, pretending that my emotional problems didn't exist. While I was battling a physical, an excruciating physical illness. And as I said, it took me a really, really long time to be able to get through my physical and mental and emotional struggles, you know, but now that I'm where I am right now, I know exactly how to, you know, be able to help people who are in a similar boat.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. And I think one thing that you mentioned again is, you know, that you're able to help people because you've been down the path, right? And do you approach each one of your situations with that same vulnerability?
Absolutely. But there's a balance. So
there is a balance. Yeah. And I guess that's my main question is, how do you balance that between helping somebody, you know, further their, you know, reason, their purpose that they're meeting with you, and also the authenticity and vulnerability of being a coach?
Yeah. So I was in therapy for 7 years and straight. And one of the things I always really struggled with therapy was that my therapist would never tell me a word about themselves. And it was, you know, a therapist's job is not to be vulnerable with you. They're just supposed to, you know, kind of hold your problems in a safe space and, you know, ask you questions and respond. But your therapist is not supposed to be your friend, you know, and they won't really get vulnerable with you and tell you, you know, things about their own life. And that was something that was very difficult for me, because I felt like here I am pouring my heart out to someone and asking for guidance, but I don't have that authentic one-on-one connection where I feel like this person really understands me and is relating to me on a human level.
Okay.
So the balance I try to strike is, you know, my clients are there. I'm there to help them. I'm not there to talk about myself. You know, that's what my book, like, that's what a book is for. You know, it's they're paying their valuable money, you know, and they're paying their valuable time so that they can get help and guidance. However, the reason that I became a coach and not a therapist, and this is not a knock on therapy, they're totally just different models.
Sure.
Apples and oranges. But the reason that I went down this path was that I wanted my clients and the people I'm helping to feel that I am either right there in the struggle with them, or I have been in the struggle with them before. Yeah. And I'm a young dude, I'm a regular dude. I am not, you know, some billionaire preaching from a soapbox, and, you know, I'm not this inaccessible person sitting in his ivory tower telling you. So, and I think it has really helped, you know, my clients and they're my friends too, you know, for us to have that very authentic, genuine one-on-one connection. So I certainly talk about myself and I certainly share parts of my story and I tell them that what they are going through is something that I've gone through myself.
Yeah.
So I know that I'm not telling them, do as I say, not as I do.
Right. Right.
But yeah, I mean, ultimately, if somebody, you know, comes to you to buy a car, they're not there to hear your life story. They're there to hear about the car, you know?
Yeah. Exactly. And that's a good point. You know, I mean, when people are there, they need somebody to listen to a lot, you know, listen to them a lot, but also help navigate the waters. Because I feel like, you know, if you're in this position where you're able to help somebody, you know, a lot of the times helping somebody is collaborating with them and helping them realize that they have all the tools that they need, or if or they're missing maybe one or maybe two, right?
I am so glad you said that. And you are either incredibly perceptive and emotionally intelligent, or you've been listening to some very, very smart people. I'm so glad you said that, because one of the things I really try to harp on is that anyone that I talk to, even you, you have all of the answers inside of you. Right. You came equipped with them. You know, when you were born, an angel blessed you with the treasure chest of all the answers, of all the guidance you'll ever need. It's called your intuition. You know, it's called your heart. Yeah. The problem is that that treasure chest is buried underneath dozens and dozens of layers of anxiety, insecurity, fear, regret, doubt. So you have all the tools you need. But first, you've got 30 years of unlearning all of this crap to do before you access those tools.
Sure.
So, you know, I always say, even though I'm a coach and I'm in this sort of like mentoring, guiding role, my job is never to tell you what to do with your life. My job is to help you figure out what you believe in your own heart is the right thing to do. In any situation. And that's a crucial distinction, because if I tell you, like, you read these like articles on Medium or these books or whatever, that's like 10 steps to being happy. Well, that's 10 steps to being happy for the person who wrote that article.
Right. You know, right.
It's not a formula.
Yeah. Well, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
But I can help you figure out what you believe in your heart, in your gut, are your 10 steps to being happy or to success or to a good relationship or whatever it might be. You know, you do have all the answers there, but you just might need somebody to help you to pick it apart and figure out what's really down there, you know?
Right. Right. Well, and you know, you bring up a lot of interesting points. And one thing that I'm curious about, because we're on, you know, the Thinking Project, is I'm curious on your journey. Like, how did you realize that you wanted to be a coach? What kind of prep work did you do to, you know, get ready to be a coach? And what was that journey like for you?
Well, the journey took me like 25, 26 years, man. Of bouncing around and trying all kinds of different things. Right. But knowing in my heart always that this was what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
So when I was 6 years old, 5 or 6 years old, on the first day of kindergarten, we had this assembly with the whole school. And the principal of the assembly, at the end of the assembly, there was like, I don't know how many hundreds and hundreds of people, all these kids, like K through 12, you know, and like all their parents. And it was like the first day of school and big, you know, big gathering. And the principal goes, does anybody want to share anything? And I was 5 or 6 years old and I raised my hand. And, you know, I went up and I took the microphone and I went up in front of like this 1,000 person audience. Yeah. And I said, hello, everybody. My name is Kevin. And I just want to say that I'm so grateful to be at this school. And I hope to be friends with all of you. And if anybody wants to talk about anything, I would love to be your friend. And this is a kindergartner, you know.
kindergartner.
Yeah, I was a brave kindergartner with no stage fright and with a fascination for people.
Yeah, so good for you.
Basically, I was going up there and I was like asking people to be my friend so that I could like learn about them.
Yeah, good for you.
And throughout elementary school, middle school, high school, college, everybody my whole life, they always told me like, oh man, you got to be a therapist. You have to write a book. Like, I was always the person who was listening to everyone's problems, listening to their stories. I was always the 3 a.m. phone call from somebody like who's having a crisis.
That's big.
So my whole life, I knew that I wanted to do something like this. You know, I knew that I loved to speak to audiences. I loved to talk to people about their problems. I didn't know, should I be a therapist? Should I, you know, what are my options? But it wasn't until about 3 years ago, 2 to 3 years ago, that I actually mustered up the courage to launch myself into this full time. Because the entire time, despite knowing that this was what was in my heart and my greatest passion and my love, I was terrified. I thought that I wasn't good enough. I thought that I don't know shit. I thought, you know, I don't want to bear the responsibility of helping other people because I'm messed up myself. So if I'm all sorts of messed up, how can I be there for other people?
Yeah. Yeah.
Even though that's what I was always doing my whole life, I was messed up and I had problems, but I was always, you know, like I said, the 3 a.m. phone call.
Yeah.
So,
right.
You know, I tried everything. I was also a musician for most of my life. I started playing drums when I was in first grade. It's like 6 or 7. And so, you know, for many years I played as a professional musician. I turned professional when I was 18.
Oh, wow.
Then I became a personal trainer, a nutritionist. I worked for the government. I worked in
bars
and restaurants. I worked in the entertainment business. I worked for a couple of the big agencies out here in Hollywood. You know, I tried, like I said, 10 different things. And in my heart, all I ever wanted to do, truly, I mean, I loved music, and music is my second great love.
Yeah.
After, you know, what I'm doing now, but all I ever wanted to do was speak to audiences. Wow. And wow, coach people through their emotional issues and overcome my own emotional issues. And I went to graduate school.
Yeah.
And I did 2 master's degrees that basically have nothing to do with what I'm doing now.
Holy cow. What did you get your graduate degrees in?
Well, one's an MBA, business.
Okay.
So it helps.
Yeah, a little bit.
And the other is social work, which is, you know, related to like the, you know, related to psychology and people's problems and stuff.
Yeah.
So they are related. But when I say they basically have nothing to do with what I'm doing now, what I mean is that all of my training, my certifications, everything I've read, all the coaches I've learned from, all the people that I've worked with, I didn't learn any of that stuff in grad school.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm not saying grad school is not useful or valuable. It was
absolutely
useful and valuable and worth the investment.
Yeah.
I really wish that the 2 years I had spent in grad school, I really wish that at that time I had the courage to say, this is what I actually want to do.
Right.
And I'm going to take these 2 years and invest this time that I would be getting my master's degrees in building this business or becoming a better coach or whatever, because I essentially, you know, was kind of behind the curve.
Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No problem. I'm still young and I'm still a baby in this process, and I still have, you know, many, many years to learn and grow and, you know, build and everything like that. But
the
point is that if you have a passion, if there's something that you love, if there's something that you wake up in the morning thinking about and you go to sleep at night thinking about, it's probably not going to go away. And I'm not saying you have to make that your full-time career. If you can do that, Godspeed. That's the situation. But cultivate that passion and don't be afraid, you know, and become the best you can be at what you love, you know. And the best decision that I ever made was to say, I'm terrified of doing this. I don't know if I'm qualified to do it, but I've been wanting to do this my whole life and I'm just going to do it.
Right.
And,
no,
and I'll just tell you one other thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
The first client I ever had fired my ass. You know, we did like 8 sessions together or something. And then she was like, look, dude, you know, you're just not doing it for me.
Yeah.
And she was the first and only client I've ever had who fired me, because after that, I like went back to the drawing board.
Yeah. Good for you.
All right. I'm clearly, you know, I clearly need to spruce up my skills here.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, I hired a business coach and I hired a personal development coach for myself, my own problems, but
yeah,
you're going to have a lot of those failures. You're going to have a lot of those setbacks.
Yeah.
You know, don't let it discourage you. Like just because you get one flat tire doesn't mean you get out of the car and go slash the other three tires.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm curious, you know, I think when I hear about business coaches and things like that, I'm always curious about times like that. Like, you know, when you got, you know, when she fired you, you know, what was it? What was the story behind that?
She fired me partially because she couldn't afford it.
Okay.
Partially because my approach wasn't right. You know, I think I was coming down hard on her and she needed somebody more gentle.
Interesting. Yeah, interesting.
Partially because my program wasn't structured enough for her.
Okay.
You know, maybe she needed more structure. Maybe I was moving too quick. Maybe I was moving too slow. I mean, she didn't tell me I'm firing you because all of the reasons. She doesn't, you know, owe that to me.
Sure.
You know, but I knew that I wasn't doing a good enough job.
Sure. But you know what? I think that's really a cool thing to realize. You know, I was in an interview, you know, a couple days ago, and they asked, you know, and I was asked about what, you know, I used to be a sales manager, and, you know, I was asked the question about, like, you know, what was the biggest lesson you learned as a sales manager? And so I answered that question with kind of what, you know, we both already know, but I answered that with, you know, you can't manage everybody the same. And that is such a hard skill to learn, man.
Yeah.
Like knowing how to approach every individual person, because there's personalities that are, you know, we can kind of match people up with personalities. And I've taken some of those personality tests and they're kind of creepy, like dead on with me. But at the same time, you know what I mean? But at the same time, you have to really, you got to really know who you're dealing with so you can pinpoint them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you have to be able to communicate with them.
Yeah.
And treat them the way they want to be treated and communicated with.
Yeah.
Not the way you would want to be treated or communicated with, you know. And I'm sure that that's something that they teach in business and sales 101 is like, know your audience, learn your customer.
Yeah.
Their language. But, you know, I'll tell you, it was a very good experience for me to get fired by my first client, because basically what it taught me was that at that time in my coaching and at that point in my quote unquote career, which was just starting, I wasn't good enough.
Hmm.
And it's not, Dalton, such a bad thing to say. It's not such a bad thing to get dumped by a boyfriend or girlfriend or get fired from a job, you know, or get fired by a client because you're not good enough. And you have to have the humility to say, right now, at this point, there's something I need to fix. There's something I need to do better.
Right.
You have to, otherwise, you'll never grow. You'll never get better. You know, you won't be a better boyfriend or girlfriend. You won't be a better employee. You won't be a better business owner or whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah.
We are terrified of these very pivotal and necessary moments in our lives and our careers where something or someone holds up a mirror to us.
Oh, and says, yeah, man.
You're not cutting it, dude. You know, it's very, very scary, and it's a very vulnerable, open, wounded position to be in. You think I enjoyed being fired by the first person?
Yeah, that would be really hard, man.
Of course, man.
That would be really hard.
She stuck the dagger in me and twisted. Like, she trusted me. She had her faith in me, and I failed her. I did a good enough job.
Yeah, no kidding. Jeez.
But that is – it was so valuable. Because now I can do a good enough job because I had the humility to say I can do – like I can and I have to do better.
Right. I think – I was going to say – I think those are beautiful experiences. And in my opinion, those are very, and I use this word knowing that I might be the only one that uses this word, but I think they're very sacred experiences. You know, I've been fired before. I've been let go before. I've failed a lot. And to me, they're very sacred because it's an opportunity for me to rise to the occasion.
I love that. And, you know, it's, I love that you can look at it that way. And I try to look at it that way too, but
it's hard.
It's so hard because of, because of one thing.
Yeah.
Which is our ego.
Oh.
You get pulled into your boss's office and he or she tells you that you're messing up. And the first instinct is to be like, but I'm doing a great job, but look at all these numbers up on the board, but whatever, you know, you sit down with your husband or wife or your boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever. And you say, look, there's something that I need from you. There's something that I'm not getting. You know, I need you to work with me on this. And, you know, the first thing they want to do is argue with you and tell you what you're doing wrong. And, you know, look at all these things. And your ego, you know, just shoots through your body from head to toe and wants to protect you and defend yourself against critique.
Right.
But that is exactly how you stay stuck where you are. So you have to learn how to control your own ego, not let it control you. And you have to learn how to take those moments, as you said, and see them as a sacred learning and growing experience, so that you can actually become the person that you want to be. If you let your ego stop you from getting better just for the temporary satisfaction of not having to feel bad, man, you'll never.
Yeah, I think that goes a lot. I think that goes back to what we were talking about earlier about being, you know, having to sit with your thoughts and your feelings, like having to sit with the fact that you might not be, you know, that you weren't your best in that situation, that you weren't, you know, that you weren't ready for that situation. Because I think a lot of the times when we take on these situations, at least for me, I've noticed that it's something that I tried to start too early, a little too early, you know, but I think again, like for me, in my experience, it's never too early to start, but you just got to be ready for the fact that it, you know, for the fact that you might have started too early with some people, and you know, it's like Mike Tyson, everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the face.
Oh, such a great line. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But it's true. Like I found that that quote's more relevant to me in my life than a slew of other ones that I've ever heard.
Yeah. It's funny you mentioned Tyson. I was thinking about a Muhammad Ali quote. Somebody was asking him, I don't know if he had lost a fight or what happened, but somebody was asking him, you know, like, you're the world champion of, you know, you're the champion of the world. You're the best boxer of all time. You know, what do you have that other people don't? You know, what sets you apart? What makes you the greatest? And he said, look, I get beat as much as everybody else. I hurt as much as everybody else. I've had my bones broken. I've had, you know, more pain in my face than you can imagine. I'm no better or worse of a boxer than most of the guys in my class. But I have one talent. And he said, my one talent is that when I get beat in the face and I'm hurting and I want to give up, I don't let the opponent see that. When they look at me, they see somebody who is stone cold and going to continue the fight no matter what. And that freaks them out.
Yeah.
And so I don't interpret this quote as, no matter what happens to you, pretend that you're fine.
Sure.
I interpret this quote as, no matter how much you get beat down, even though it hurts, right? Don't capitulate to that feeling of weakness.
Yeah.
In other words, don't show the world and don't show everybody else that you're going to quit. You know, don't let everybody see that just because you beat up, you got beaten down, that it's going to keep you down.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the biggest question we can ask ourselves in this situation is what happens next, right? Like, I've really got two choices, and what happens next is, you know, it's gonna suck if I keep moving forward, but that's the thing I got to do. You know what I mean? I got to keep going.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, Muhammad Ali's opponents looked at him and they were like, shit, no matter what I do, this guy is going to keep coming at me, you know?
Yeah.
And it put the fear of God into them.
That would be scary.
That's the approach and the tenacity that you have to have with life, man. No matter what happens, no matter how many times you get fired, no matter how many times you get dumped, you know, you keep going and you know, you don't let it just knock you out of the fight.
Oh, dude. But it's so true though. I mean, you make a lot of really, really good points. Especially with, you know, the just keep going. I think that's my biggest advice to people. Not that I get asked advice a lot. Like, I'm not an influencer, right? I don't make the videos that, like, I've had a million people ask me this question, you know, but every, you know, there's seldom times when I do try to help people and I give them advice. And my biggest one is just keep going, man. Like, you just got to learn how to accept what's going on and just move. Like, cause that's, I had a math teacher. Well, it was a math teacher. You know, we were in a high level math class in college and we were, you know, and we all complained about the math class because they were notorious for, you know, do your homework, read these pages. And then on the test, it looked nothing like what we had to do. You know what I'm saying? And we'd be like, man, how do we figure this out? How do I figure this out? And, one of the biggest lessons I learned from that class was what I take with me right now. And that is he's like, just start. And as you start, you'll start to figure it out. You'll start to realize that that doesn't work and that doesn't work, and you'll problem solve on your own. And if you just start, like, it might take you a little bit longer, but if you just start, you'll figure it out. You'll learn, and, you know, that didn't work, so you start over. But each time you start over, you'll get a little further. And I was like, holy cow, man. That was like some of the most profound advice that I ever received in a math such a weird place, in a math class.
It's so simple, but it's so profound.
I was like, whoa, that's crazy. Just start. Just go. You'll figure it out.
I think a lot of life is laying the tracks as you drive the train.
Oh, yeah, man. That's true.
You know, which is...
I like it.
Which is what you're saying, man. You just start and you're going to figure it out as you go along.
That's for sure.
But one thing that I've learned, especially in business, you know, for those of your listeners out there who are young entrepreneurs or trying to have a side hustle or whatever.
Yeah.
Is that we think that it's, you know, we got to have everything figured out and planned out and all of our finances and exactly, you know, our sales strategy and all this stuff. And that's going to be the key to success. But one of the things that I've learned is that it's 20% planning, 80% execution.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
80% of it is just doing it. And, my business coach before, my business coach Jeremy, I love him, and he's the only reason I even have a business. If you're listening to this, Jeremy, thank you for everything. But I remember when I first hired him, when I first started working with him, we spent like 6 months trying to plan out everything. You know, and I would call him really frustrated. I'd be like, but what about this? And what about this? And then what am I going to do if I run into this problem and stuff like that? And at one point he was just like, dude, we've been going back and forth for half a year about how you're going to address problems that you haven't even handled. You just just get your first client, just book your first gig, you know, just go speak to like your first, you know, just do it. And and when you say just keep going, it reminds me of Jeremy, because sometimes I call him and I'll be like, you know, man, we've been trying these strategies for me to get different leads and for me to prospect to new clients, and it's not working and blah blah blah. And he'll be like, just shut up and, you know, stop questioning the process.
Yeah,
we can make tweaks and we can make adjustments, but get used to this, because this is going to be the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Is feeling like you want it to happen sooner.
Yeah.
And feeling like, why isn't everything coming together within the span of here? You know, I don't think we're ever going to escape that problem.
I don't think so. And you know what? I love that story, by the way, because I think a lot of people are going to really that's going to resonate with a lot of people, because, you know, we think that we're out of the woods, you know, but there's an old, is it, is it a Haitian proverb? I can't remember. But it's an old proverb that goes, beyond these mountains are more mountains. Like they just, you know, but the point of life isn't to get past these mountains. It's just like what you're saying. It's like, we're just going to deal with them. You know, we're just going to deal with them as they come. They're probably never going to get over. I think that's a beautiful part about life is the fact that, like, behind these mountains are more mountains. Right. And I just get another chance to prove myself. And you're never really starting over, right? You start a new problem with all the experience that you had in a previous, that you gained from all the previous times you made it. And right. You failed.
Yeah, there's an old, it reminds me of an old proverb that says, a man can never step in the same river twice.
Oh, yeah, man.
He is never the same man, and it is never the same river.
Oh, dude, thank you so much. That's freaking awesome.
Yeah. So I mean,
really like that.
You know, the river is constantly changing form and shape, and there's new water flowing through it all the time.
Yeah, that's right.
Life is constantly bringing new events and new people and new circumstances. And you are not the same man stepping in that river, because every day that passes, you've gained more experience, more wisdom, more time, more suffering.
Yeah.
So, you know, no matter how many of those mountains you approach, as you say, it's never really starting over.
Right.
And I like to remind people that there's most of the time we don't fail. We either succeed or we learn.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. The true failure is when you refuse to learn.
Oh, that's a good point.
You know, so most of the time, experiences that you're having are not actually failures. You're either succeeding at what you wanted to do, or you're learning from the experience you had that went south. Yeah. But if you want to know if you're really failing, the true failure is, am I refusing to learn? Am I refusing to take this negative experience and add it to, you know, to my toolbox and grow from it, you know?
Oh, for sure, man. For sure. I really appreciate that. So tell, you know, we're kind of winding down. I really appreciate your time so far, man. And I loved our conversation. But how do people, if people want to get a hold of your coaching services or anything like that, how do they get a hold of you?
Thank you so much, brother. I've got my Instagram is the best way. It's just my name, Kevin Nahai, KevinNahai.
Okay.
Please follow me and send me a message. I will always respond and always be there to help however I can. I've got a YouTube channel too, where I've got some longer form videos.
Oh, right on.
But my Instagram is, I'm most active on there.
Oh, right on. Well, hey, thank you so much for being here, Kevin. And I appreciate all your words and the wisdom. And I think a lot of people are going to get a lot out of this. So thank you so much for being here, man.
Thank you, man. God bless you and happy Thanksgiving.
Yes, sir. You too.